chapter 1, verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11 says, you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. One of the principles in the scripture is that when God is moving intentionally in his timetable and his plan, he presses things forward and he presses points of contact, people and prayer, and it presses something. And once you break through, that place then becomes accessible to everybody who's looking. Jesus had a woman with the issue of blood who had heard enough about Jesus and had tried enough of her own things that she knew she couldn't get any better with her own means, but she'd heard about this one who could heal. And although it was not kosher for her to go and touch anyone or even be out in public with the flow of blood, she pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. And immediately she knew inside of herself that the whole issue had been resolved. And that's just its own powerful demonstration of you know when you know. She didn't have to go check herself. She just knew, I'm healed. Jesus knew because power had come out of him without him initiating it, inviting it, or offering it. Someone just pulled it out of him. So he was aware that power had left him, virtue had left him, but he didn't know who. So he turned around and said, who touched me? And Peter's trying to say, well, you know, we're actually your bodyguard, carrying you, getting you through the crowd to Jairus' house, and I think everybody's touching you, so to speak. And he said, no. Someone touched me in faith. Somebody pulled from me. And by this time, the woman knew she had been known, and she came and told him everything and said, this is what happened. Well, once that miracle got out, it says in the next chapter in one of the Gospels, I forget which one, that people from all the surrounding areas began to come, and as many as touched his garments were healed. So one person had opened a door for a whole season of robe healing. Is that cool? And that's Jesus yesterday. And that's Jesus today, and that's Jesus tomorrow. This is the manner of way he moves. And so I heard this about the many, the thanks be given by many persons on behalf for the gift granted to us through the many. And what I believe, and I know that in the midst of when we launched Champions last fall, and we said, okay, that's what we want to call a company of intentional intercessors that are joining together in a journey in faith and discovery of the Lord and being led, as Jesus, as Paul said in Corinthians 3, being led in triumph, or 2 Corinthians chapter 2, being led in triumph. We want to get out of the battle and we want to get into the triumph. We want to live amongst a name of champions versus warriors. And so an intentional decision movement, and Becky does such a good job of communicating. I know many of you communicate back, and the trip through Thailand was extraordinary. It first started with the trip to Israel, and that became an extraordinary trip of so much joined prayer. And then this trip, I know we opened up, stepped into things that would not be possible without the prayer. It would not be possible. Would not be possible. One of the things the Lord has caused me to see over and over and over again is how incredibly important each of us are. I mean, there's not one in this room that is dispensable. There's not one in this room that does not carry a portion of his inheritance in us, in the saints. And without that full portion, we're always, you know, sputtering in our engine. And there's not, the other thing is he loves you. I mean, he's so in love with you. Amen. with the intensity of, I must have this one fully liberated unto me. They must be free. They must be mine. They must be celebrating who I called them to be, who I created them to be, what I ordained them to be, what I released them in in my foundation, in the foundation of the world, at the foundation of the world, in me, I saved him and I called him. There's a journey, there's a destiny, there's an inheritance. It's got to come forth. It just has to. And so in the trip in Thailand, it just started to just, you know, compound and expand and happen and keep happening, and barely had a chance to unpack any of it. And I think that's actually part of the design of heaven, because a lot of times it's what he, you know, brings in a flash, we discover for a time, and we kind of, you know, move our way toward that. But tonight I was feeling so strong that the Lord said, I'm going to begin inside of my young men and women, my sons and daughters, my old men and old women. I'm going to begin to reinvigorate and reawaken and requicken. I'm going to come inside of them, and I'm going to liberate from the inside out. Yeah, and for those of you who have faith, I believe some of you, we are going to start getting younger. Why not? Why not? Moses didn't age. Caleb didn't age. Joshua didn't age. You know, so that's not a limitation on God, and to rejuvenate us such a way that we are as younger than we were 20 years ago, that's nothing. That's probably just part of the outpouring of the living waters and the flow of life. So, to frame this, and I'm not sure. I'm just going to try to follow the Lord on this, because what he wants to do, and in very short time, he wants to, through prayer, begin to quicken, to come alive, to begin to be seen on the inside of you, to appear to you, to do as what he began to show me was going to be the model of the new, of the season of conversions coming, where the Apostle Paul and his conversion on the road to Damascus, when he was insistent on being, you know, following his, what he felt was to cleanse the Israel from this sect of the Jews called the Way. And yet, when he came face to face with Jesus, then he changed his whole direction. And here's something, all warriors, all prayer people, all those who pursue the Lord, you will be positioned to endure hardship that you wouldn't have to endure if it wasn't but for the benefit of others, and because it is against Christ that it comes towards you. And when it finally gets settled, when it finally gets settled, you will understand that much of what you went through was persecution against Christ. And when Jesus steps into the arena of the adversary or to change the heart of an individual, he never says, Paul, Saul, why are you persecuting my church? You see, why are you persecuting me? Me. And it's all becoming about Jesus, afresh and anew. I mean, it always has been, but it's going to. But he's stepping in a fashion that's just the only one who can do that. He's the only one who can do it. He's the only one that can make up the difference. On the 7th of May, I was had that experience, which I shared on the 7th of May, which was really went to the Lord and saw him, and he appeared to me in a grassy knoll and began to encounter me in a joyful, playful fashion. Then he made the command, play, Steve, which then took me through a series of what I understand now was the disengagement from long seasons of war, long periods of battle, very intense right at the moment, and at the same time very long and for years and years. And the next day, it was a profound experience, and it still is, and it still holds its shift. And it's the change that it brought to me. It's not, everything's changed. But the next day, I went to be with him, and he appeared to me in the same place, but he was sitting down, and he said, come here and sit with me. I want to talk to you. And we had been, all of you champions have been hearing that the trip to Thailand, I was supposed to go alone because I was as much to hear the counsel of God as it was to enter into ministering for the Lord. And so that had been confirmed, and so now the Lord began to say, this is a few days before I leave, I'm going to meet with you here, and I'm going to begin to counsel you from here. So that was already a mind shift, because we'd had pictures of Moses, and all that is that burning mountain with smoke and thunder, and that's kind of scary. So this was like tranquil and restful, and it was really funny, because for the next 3 days, May 8th, 9th, and 10th, the Lord began to talk to me about his heart for his bride, for his people, and all people whom he knew and wanted to know him. Saved and unsaved, religious and rebellious, everybody. And the conversation began to become one of just like, it was really funny, because the first day I came to the Lord and I said, Lord, I mean, it's kind of, hi, you know, Jesus, I love you. And he looked at me and said, I love you too, Steve. I thought, well, are we going to go, you want some more accolades? You're the greatest, you're the best, I love you. And it was like, no, that's not why we're here. I want to talk to you about what I'm here for. I'm here to deliver my body. I'm here to liberate my sons and daughters from the inside out. From the very inside, because the captivity has grown so great on the outside. And no systems and directions and help. It's helpful and it's good and it explains and it empowers, but it in and of itself is not enough for where we're at. I'm going to begin to liberate people from the inside out. I'm going to go into them, to the very core of their being, and I'm going to remit their sins, and I'm going to quicken their inheritance, and they're going to come out of their captivity, and they're going to come into their destiny. And it was profound, the intensity of emotion that I could feel with Jesus. And as he began to say, we're going to practice this in Thailand. We're going to go. I'll explain more of it. I really didn't know how he was going to practice it or what he was going to explain. But it did turn out to be exactly just line upon line. It was flash upon flash, glory upon glory, encounter upon encounter. Because I did get to have almost 4 uninterrupted days, except for a couple evening ministry times, of just being in the presence of God all day long. It was like, and it wasn't one of those trying to find him. He was just, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. I got more to show you. Here, look at this, look at this. And the thing that I began to see, and what he wanted me to, and communicate, was A, how much he delights in everyone in this room. And you're known from eternity, and you were perfect when you were conceived in your mother's womb. Yet at the same time, you were conceived in iniquity. And now we walk through the struggle of those two realities that collide upon our birth. And then we're thrown into a hostile world that from the very beginning is against us. Not because itself is. You've got germs and disease. You've got famine. You've got destruction. You've got curses. You've got conflict. So there's much against us, and now it's accumulated over the millenniums. But yet Jesus, what is happening and beginning to happen is he's just going to show up. He's going to interrupt your life. He's going to walk into what you're doing and say, what are you doing? It's a good question. Let him ask you that. What are you doing? What are you doing? And some of the things we get doing is end up, we're doing against him. We're not as bad as Saul. We're not trying to blatantly eliminate Christians, but we can be as religious as Saul and subtle and struggling and not even understanding. So, like last Sunday, when he said, share about the woman at the well. He just told me her story. I'm just taking a walk. He said, let me just tell you the story again. And I've listened to that story many times. I just want to tell you the story again. You don't understand how I was inviting her to allow me to unlock her so that I could unlock her, to release her so that she could be who she is called to be. And who she, even tonight in worship, she had 5 husbands living with a man. she probably wasn't really, you know, she needed men, but she really probably didn't have a really good relationship. And yet, what was the word she had to say? Come see the man. Come see the man. Come see the man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Probably the hardest thing is that in our battles, we have to put up our armor and we have to hold our place. And we do that for a very good reason. And God is so pleased. He's so pleased with every time we just hold our place. And every time we just say, no, I'm not going to yield. That's a lie. But I want to tell you, a lie is a lie. And if it comes under the with the voice of the accuser, it's as good as if it was a truth. It will fight. You have to fight it off the same way you have to fight off something that was true. In fact, if something's true, you can confess and get right with God and go on. But how do you deal with a lie? Because you know it's not true, but neither is it. The more you defend yourself, the more righteous, self-righteous you become, and you end up like Job. Just locked up until God unlocks you. And the only way he usually can unlock you is to kind of break out of your paradigm and just expand your mind. So when he came to the Apostle Paul, he first had to grant him repentance. He had to have a new thought. Then he had to be able to turn to the one he was speaking to him, which was Jesus, and go do as he was directed. And then in that repentance and turning, then God did the remitting, the delivering, the liberty from the captivity, and the activating of his destiny that was his before he was born. And that all happened in this intense supernatural moment. And God's supernatural. His language is Holy Spirit. His voice is seen in signs and visions and felt in dreams. And once Paul yielded to that, then he just went with it. And he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. So for you and me, it's like the next day when I came and I'm with the Lord, May 8th, after I shared the vision, which everybody was, it was exciting, it was fun, it was, you know, different, playful, yes, but it was a shifting. And then Jesus started saying, I am here to liberate my people. I am here to come inside of them. I'm going to act, I'm going to remit sin, I'm going to activate inheritance. It's going to happen, and I will start now. And so everything in John's Gospels was to try to get people to take a drink from him, to imbibe him. Jesus' whole work with the Samaritans, come on, I want to give you something to drink. And she's going, well, what is it? And then da-da-da-da and da-da-da-da. We went all through there. But finally she got it. You are the Messiah. And she imbibed. She drank. She absorbed. She received. She breathed in. However you want to explain it. It's as simple as that. Or it's as complicated as eat his body and drink his blood. And work your brain about that and get stuck. Oh. You know, and yeah, I got to go back to a concrete thinking because I can't embrace eating body parts. But when it's and pulling him in, and then from that becomes this well, and the well begins to bubble up, and it begins to bring a continuance of the life, and then the life begins to spring up, the water springs up into eternal life. You can begin to perceive that somebody whose point of shame became their point of advertisement. I mean, that's a strong liberation when your point of shame now becomes your point of advertisement. And it's not somebody else's shame. It's easy to use somebody else's shame as a point of advertisement. Can I share your testimony, please? No. But and you know what? You can't do it until it's done. It's like there's still a lot of stories you can't tell anybody about because you're still in them. You're still in it. You haven't finished the course. You don't know where it ends. It's the movie's not cast yet. But Jesus, when invited, when perceived, when recognized, when welcomed, when hunger captures us, when interest, when we just get to this place, I don't know where to go anymore. I want what you're doing, or I welcome you to do what you're doing. I'm not sure what that means. I give you permission. Any of those kinds of language opens a door. And once he opens that door, he comes in and begins to sup with us. Once he begins to sup with us, he can have full access as far as we'll allow him. And that, again, is is so important, why you know he loves you. I mean, he just loves you and me and us and all of us. He looks upon you and he sees the battle that we've been in and the armor that we've got locked up and the place we're holding. It's like, hold your place, but let me in too. Do what you're going to do, but just let me in. Go make that last loaf of bread and eat it and die, but just give me a piece before I go. Just give me some access, an access point. The access point becomes the entrance point. Once the entrance point's granted, Jesus can pretty well begin to go unless we shut him down because we frighten, because we don't understand, because we get too overwhelmed. But I believe the sovereignty of heaven right now is that he is on, well, he can't, when he said, I'm come to liberate my body, it wasn't to invite me or challenge me, it was to inform me. I'm informing you of what my battle plan is. I'm come to liberate my church, my body, my sons and daughters on the earth, saved and unsaved, religious and rebellious. I'm come and I'm going to encounter them. I'm going to encounter them like I did Saul on the road to Damascus. I'm going to turn them around. I'm going to reveal my son in them, even though they had a calling before they were born. I'm going to reveal my son, and now their calling's going to go in fully the right direction. Wow. We want that. I'm hungry. So I had the benefit of knowing where I was going. Well, you had the benefit of praying, not knowing where I was going, which is probably good on both sides. So I didn't. We weren't in any form of trying to figure anything out. We were just saying, let's go. And what else, I believe right now, in the next couple of minutes, what is beginning to happen is that imbibing, that taking a drink, that receiving, that welcoming, that allowing Jesus. And what happens from that is that he begins to reveal himself from the inside. He begins to touch you, touch me, unlock, disengage. Whatever he knows you. He knows each of us. You are loved fiercely. Your inheritance is unique to no one else. It's unique. It is unique. And yet it is within a fabric that will become his body and his bride. But yet it is absolutely unique. And his voice quickens and begins to allow both the liberty to go free and the sense of where I'm going with that freedom. And it just starts to come into unity. And it really isn't something we strive to do. It's just something we yield to him. Give him permission. Give him place. So what I want to do is pray. I want to pray for you. I don't want to have had no permission to go laying on the hands. When I was in Thailand, I really wasn't ever doing that. I would just begin to lead a prayer in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit to begin to allow and wake and for Christ to come and begin to redefine our future, redirect our steps, liberate us, refresh us, replenish us, renew us, breathe upon us, whatever imagery you can give him permission to do. Now again, it's hard when you've had to hold the place for a long time because it almost seems like, what a stinky reward. I do all this to hold a place and you tell me I have to get renewed. You tell me that I got to lay down my stone and put down my armor and let you come into me in a new encounter. Where's the reward for my effort? The effort is the reward, is to meet Jesus. He is everything. He is the man. It's not a mountain. It's not a method. It's him. It's the man, Jesus Christ. And yet, there is a mist coming right now. It's a mist. It's not a torrent. It's not even a rain. It's a mist to soften the earth. To soften our earth, our souls, our soil, so that when he increases in volume, increases in substance, increases in pouring out, that there will be many that can stand up and have a clarity. This is that which the prophet said. This is what's happening. And the others that are swept in, because the yielded ones are usually the most disengaged from religion, and the most difficult ones to yield are the most stringent in religion. Does that make sense? The Samaritan woman, she was on the wrong mountain already and married to too many men. So she really didn't have anything to hold to. So she was a prime recipient. Yet at the same time, what an honor that she was the one that God sovereignly chose and brought a whole city to him. So you see, here's the thing. Everything you've been through, everything you're involved in, everything that's occurred to you is inside of Christ's sovereignty and is going to be seen inside of redemption, and it's going to be a part of the ransomed of the Lord returning, and it's going to become a delight and a testimony of grace. So the yielding over from the standing and resisting is sweeps everything with it that we've been holding and contending for, but it sweeps it back unto the Lord, So that's where we're headed, and we're going to run out of time if I keep trying to explain myself. So let's start praying. Thank you, Father. Just prepare your heart however you would know how to kind of position yourself before the Lord. As much permission as you know how to give. If you're with us on the web today, just same thing. And if you're listening another day, it's the same thing. It's all a receiving, a yielding, a coming into agreement. And close your eyes if you prefer. I'll probably end up closing my eyes because all this is new to me. And it's easier to see. And like the woman at the well, or like Jairus in desperation, or the woman with the issue of blood, or any of the ones that found the Lord and found that receptive response. Don't hide your neediness. Don't hide your nakedness. Don't hide your tiredness or reproach. He's coming after it. He's coming after it because that's the thing he's going to remove from you and remove you from. And it isn't going to be a shameful event. It's the most freeing moment of time. Frees you beyond anything you could ever have accomplished with following all the precepts and principles you've learned. Jesus, we love you. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. We welcome you in this house. Sit next to us. Sit in us. Just worship Jesus for a moment. Give you praise, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Lord God, we acknowledge that you have brought a company of people together and we've walked as one. We've joined our hearts in faith and we've agreed upon your voice. And we've responded the best we've known and we've held our place as long as we can. And we bless you, Jesus. You are worthy of all our praise and attention, affection. You're worthy of all our victories and all our defeats. All our gain and all our loss, all our humiliation and all our honor, it's all yours. We bring it to you. Don't hide it. We don't keep it from you. I see the Lord coming in these steps next to you. Inquisitive eyes. Loving eyes, determined eyes, smile of confidence in who he is and what he's done, and gratitude to who you are and what you've done. He steps inside. You welcome him. His voice, you know, open to him. And he comes and he stands. He sees the ravagedness of your heart. Barrenness of your shelves. The discombobulation of the house you're in, the place you're in. He sees all of the efforts you've done to patch things and mend things and hold things. He sees the notices of against you. Accusations, slanders, struggles, shames, and reproach. They're all like notices I see pounded on a door. Legal documents against you. You've done your best to hold your place. You know, most of it's a lie, but some of it started to seep into your own soul, and you sometimes wonder. He looks around, he looks at you, and he just smiles. Now he steps further into you, and inside of you, it's almost like going from your house being your heart, your soul, into your spirit being your eternal part of the renewed you, the born-again you. I'm not sure how that is, but it's just inside, in the inner man. And the revelation of Jesus begins to come alive. The light, the glory, the shining, the voice, the sound. Whoa. You would say, you have done so well, my sons and daughters. You have done so well to hold your place. For if you knew the warfare that you've endured and what has come against you for my name's sake, you would not have held your place, for it would have been too intense. For what looked to be like a few waves of a storm have turned into be a tsunami, and yet you've held your place. What was to be a few weeks of endurance have turned into years and decades for some, and yet you've held your place. You've held your place and not let me go of mine. You can grieve with me even though I couldn't be seen and you couldn't feel me. And what seemed to be everything against you, you've held your place. Agreed with me and stood with me. And still, there you were by yourself. You've lost ones you've loved. You've loved ones you've lost. You've moved about. You've tried to rescue. You've tried to gather, but the storm's been so great. You've held your place. And you've held your place. You look around and you say, what place have I held? Look at the loss I've incurred. Look where I am today. It was not where I began yesterday. How can you say I've held my place? Because you've held my name. You've kept it. You've held my word as best you knew how. Though you have been tossed to and fro and carried about, you've not denied my name. And you've discovered me through the troubles. And your death has led to life. And I, your resurrection, stand here before you. For I come as a mist. I come as the rain. I come as the fountain of living water. I begin watering you. Drink of me, and it shall be. Imbibe me in this moment. I am a liberator of my people. And it is your honor and my desire to grant you my encounter of myself inside of you, in the context of your entire life and in your calling and inheritance, I come. And I have the authority from my Father to redeem all things, to call forth all things into unity and oneness with me and my purpose. I have the authority to break apart the destructive tactics known and unknown to you this day and say no more. Amen. I have the authority to allow you access to me and to enjoy what I have accomplished and without regard how it will be done. Reckless, childlike, abandonment, faith, and freshness, newness. I have the authority to breathe new life and breathe blotting out anointing over all things that have started processes of captivity. And it is my desire and my choice over you tonight and in you in this moment to quicken, to awaken, to liberate, to release, to deliver, to set free, to invigorate with my grace, my spirit, my life. Oh, don't worry about how it will take shape or what form it will be. Don't look around and see, well, what will that look like? Just look at me. I see the Lord just breathing. The face of Jesus begins to shine, the glory of God, and the face that we behold begins to emanate into our very being, and the glory of God begins to come over us inside out, the inner man, the outer man. The glory radiates and activates and liberates, and fountains break forth, and sounds, the voice of God are heard. Come, Lord Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I will use your name, Jesus, in a moment. Your activation of all things that you're saying will begin, if not having begun, they will break forth in beginning in a strong way. And Holy Spirit, you who are the delight of the church, the one who delights in living in the midst of this people whom have been redeemed, who delights in hovering in chaos, is not intimidated in darkness and not shunned by confusion. Come with the demonstration of Holy Spirit, with the power of Holy Spirit. And the Lord would say, don't try to figure me out right now and where this is going and what this will do for that or that or for this. This is me wanting you, you wanting me. It's a new day, and the day for you and me to come into union and oneness. I'll take care of the rest, and what I don't take care of won't matter. It won't even matter. You have a date with me. I'm here for you. I'm not here for your stuff, and I'm not intimidated where you're at. I'm here for you, to call you to me as you have called me to you. Let's stand together, can't we? To see the Lord standing next to us. Whoa, Jesus. If any of this starts to sound like it would be a nice idea, or if it sounds like it's God talking, just say, come on, Lord, come on in. I give you permission. Open as much as you know how to give him permission. The way he liberates is never the way we think he's going to liberate, and it's never the same for two people. And all it is he takes a point of connection, and once the connection's made and we journey with him, it takes over all things. Doesn't matter if you start at the A or at the Z, or at the top or at the bottom. It's just giving. Recognizing, responding, yielding, permitting, believing, moving into Jesus, and letting Jesus do the same in you. So Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I now release the authority you've given me for you to do what you're doing. I cannot do this. This is not me, and it's not about me. It's you, and it's about your bride and their sons and daughters you love. And none are expendable, and none are ones to which you are offended by. You are here to release, free, fill, subdue, overcome, overtake everyone in this room. You have a delight in it. You have a delight in it, not to ruin us and ridicule us, but to release us and to free us and to reveal yourself, Jesus Christ, in us. So, Father God, in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, come with demonstration and power to the words of Christ that are being heard inside of the believers in the house and on the web and whoever listens and sees later. Come, 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 come and activate the fullness of this season, this house. Come. Go ahead, let them have it. It's a mist right now. It may just kind of be like a sprinkle, like a little one of those things you stand in at Magic Mountain in the middle of the summer. But it'll start refreshing, start melting, start welcoming, start opening doors. For others, it could be a flood. I'm not saying he can't just flood. But this is an invitation banquet right now. Whoa. Whoa. Just, yeah. Receive. Engage. Worship. Welcome. Come on. We've worked together a long time, everybody. We're partners. It's Jesus' desire to grant something sweet, strong, and continual to begin in us. Doesn't mean we won't have more questions and answers tomorrow morning, but we will have more tangibleness of him to which we can pursue. Come, Lord. Whoa. Come on. It's going to get fun in a minute. Come on. Come on. Jesus, we love you. Come on, Jesus. We love you. We love you, Jesus. You saved us. Not the church. Not of religion. You saved us. You save every man. You're the light that came into the world that lights every man. You are the illumination when we perceive you. Your face reflects the glory of God and the knowledge of God. You are the express image of God. You are the deliverer, redeemer. Jesus! And you're inside us. Jesus! You're here. For your sons and daughters, known and unknown, known and unknown, known and unknown. Well, shabobobo, shaboboda, babade, babababa. Come on up, 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 up. Drink, 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 drink. Rivers. That's where we're going, but it's springs, springtime right now. Oh, you're so kind, you're so gentle, you're so strong, you're so relentless, you're so pursuing. You're so good. You're so awakening. You're so alive. As best you know how, give a response to the Lord, to what he's, what you're experiencing, what he's communicating, what he's, what you're sensing, what you're desiring, what you're wanting. Just acknowledge. Acknowledge with your mouth, with your heart, a voice that you can hear. Jesus. Wow. A mist like it used to be in the earth, coming up from the earth and coming down from heaven. A mist. Oh. One of the first signs that God wants to release to each and every one of us forever, the struggle of ever battle, is lifting off the weariness of war. Times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. There's a reason we have to be refreshed in order for the restoration of all things. There's a reason the refreshing has to come before restoration comes. There's a reason Jesus is reserved in heaven till the restoration of all things. I don't know if refreshing is on your list of summer activity you'd like to experience in Jesus, lift up your hands. If weariness or rest, refreshing is something you'd like to come in place of weariness and struggle and tiredness and overwhelmingness, I don't know how he'll administrate that, but if it's there, and this is a vacation you would sign up for, this is a moment, this is a time you'd encounter, then Lord, here we are. You made a promise, and we invoke the promise again. That as we repent, as we consider things new, as we open our mind to thoughts we haven't thought before, as we think again, think afterwards, and turn to you, that you will blot out our sins, that wherever they have captured us and skewed us and make us think contrary or go in a different direction, you will erase that, eliminate that, blot it out with the anointing, and that times of refreshing can come now from the presence of the Lord. So in the name of Jesus, we call forth, we invoke refreshing, breath, wind, renewal, Sabbath rest. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Let your mind get big right now. Come on, come on, come on. There's a largeness of rest and refreshing available. Largeness of rest and refreshing. Some may go on vacations they never thought they'd get to go on. It gets like that. It gets way outside of the box. Refreshing, refreshing, refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Whoa. Now I'm going to let you go in a moment, but before you disengage, mark your place. Put a marker in your spirit of this moment we've started, because this is where the Lord will meet you tomorrow or tonight. You never stop talking if you let him. And I'm going to say one last thing, that God is ready to expand a conversation that will blow your mind. He's going to start speaking of wonderful things that he's going to do that will blow your mind, because you've only known awful things in that department. He's going to start declaring things over you like life from the dead and things that don't exist as though they do. And it's just the nature of God. And it's wonderful to fellowship there. And it's life-giving. And as you put a marker there, it's okay, Lord. There's an invitation of drinking and eating with him, supping with him, supping with him. Not for response, not for work, not for ministry, not for marketplace, not for profit, not for gain, not for loss, just to sup with him, to be with him, to fellowship with him, to enjoy him, to reaccount, to discuss the journey, to get reacclimated to the kingdom, to be renewed, to be refreshed, to be about. There's just a big invitation. Come and join me. Eat with me. Sup with me, says the Lord. Wow. And the last thing the Lord would say to those and all of us, but especially those who have intentionally held prayer vigils, not only in the context of the champions and the journey for us as a people of Jubilee and liberty and trying to discover that beckoning sound that keeps calling us forward, but to anyone who's held anyone in their heart in intercession and said, stood between the living and the dead and said, no. Anyone who's suffered through the disconcerting journey of intercession that does not lead to the desired end, only allows a delay continues and forbearance is seen, but you don't know where to go from there. The Lord says to you tonight, I strengthen you with might, with my spirit, and I quicken you with delight. And I say to you, hand over the burdens of your prayers. Release the weight of the intercession. Place it at my feet and decree that the season of this intercession is finished and the season of the receiving from the intercession has begun. I begin to give as you let go. I am shifting what I'm doing in you. If that's you, just hold up your hand one more time. Lord, you know this house, their house of prayer from the longest of years. Today, Lord, today, right now, let the transference of movement and assignments and shifting and burdens and completion of missions now be granted us. May it be awakened in us. Let people become aware of it. Let us discover it tomorrow morning when we go to be with you. Let it become so clear that we just are aware that, wow, like I got what you did to me. Let it be done for everyone, that there become a shift and a beginning of a new season of movement and partnership and union and oneness and enjoyment. Lord, seal and cover all of us. Let us go out carrying within the very workings of God. Let the workings of God continue long after we go to sleep and through the weeks and months ahead. May you be glorified, and may you have access to everyone in every way in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for being great.